off the ball.
Rook.
Another reminder that 6-2 is great when it works. And it's awful when it doesn't work if you get two injuries in the back line. And even if you get one injury in the back line early on, it is very restrictive.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look ahead to tonight's action in the League of Ireland with champion Shamrock Rovers away to Shelburne. We hear from Celtic boss Martin O'Neill after a penalty shootout win over Rangers in the Scottish Cup. And Keith Andrews' Brentford side make the trip across London to take on West Ham for the last place in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. But first today, Shamrock Rovers have a chance to cut the gap at the top of the table to leaders Bohemians at 3 points if they can beat Shelburne at Talca Park. Rovers beat Derry City 1-0 on Friday night in our live commentary game from Tallaght Stadium thanks to a second half penalty from Dylan Watts. The champions have won two of their opening four games, and boss Stephen Bradley says no matter what form they're in, it's always a tough game against Shells.
Us and Shells are always tough games, always Dublin derbies, always good games, and I don't see Monday being any different. It'd be a tight game, it'd be a good game. But we'll recover tonight and go there fully focused and winning the game.
Shells have their second Dublin derby in 3 days, with Joey O'Brien's side looking to bounce back from their injury time loss to St Pat's on Friday. Max Matta scored the winner for Pats after Shells had come from 2-0 down on that game. It's been a mixed start for the 2024 league champions, who have one win, two draws and one loss from their opening four games. Kick off at Talca Park is 7:45. It's a rearranged fixture from the second weekend of the season, when the pitch was deemed unplayable due to all the heavy rain last month. Athlone Town warmed up for the new Women's Premier Division season by claiming the President's Cup yesterday. Returning American forward Dana Sheriff was on target for last year's double winners, who beat rivals Shelburne 1-0. Athlone boss John O'Sullivan says it was an entertaining game.
Yeah, I think it was a very entertaining game. I'd imagine the fans got the money's worth, that's for sure. Yeah, look, Shells came at us the first 20. They showed us what they're good at. They're a very good side, there's no doubt about it. We weathered that storm, we came into it. We got good joy of play, didn't score the chance we got in the first 35-40 minutes. The second half we came into it, we took our chances, could have took a few more chances, but we didn't.
Evan Ferguson will undergo surgery today, with the on-loan Roman striker ruled out of Ireland's playoff against the Czech Republic in 2 weeks. The Meath man will have surgery on a persistent ankle issue which has troubled him for the last 18 months. And on yesterday's Football Hour, David Snaid and Keith Tracy joined John Duggan and pondered if Ferguson could make this summer's World Cup should Ireland qualify.
Evan Ferguson, not only do we feel he's going to be out of this Czechy game later this month, David Snaid, but it could be that if we do qualify for the World Cup, it might not be for Evan.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely. I was asking Keith even before we came in, like, has he ever had ankle surgery or something like this in his career, to kind of get an idea of what he must be going through, because obviously this is something over the last couple, it's obviously a story that's been tipping away in the last couple of weeks about what's actually going on. Like, it became apparent a couple of weeks ago that possible surgery was on the horizon, that they might have to just assess what's actually needed here. And like, as you speak to people, like, it's no guarantee that it's definitely going to get 100% to the bottom of it and fix it. There's clearly issues there. That's the hope here now. That's the most important thing, regardless of the playoff and the World Cup all going well, Ireland get there. It's more so, I suppose, for a young lad's career. He's 21 years of age and such high hopes, and think it's right to remain that degree of just perspective and caution here, where, like, he's probably gone through something that maybe a lot of lads would have gone through in a career where they have these injuries, and hopefully he'll come through it. But in the short term, yeah, like, just obviously stuff been kind of bubbling on the surface for the last few days, and I think the decision was made for the better for him and his own career that he just needs to have this operation rather than trying to struggle through and persevere through. And it's so disappointing, even from the point of view of if you go back to September when Evan Ferguson came in. Obviously he got that loan move to Roma. When he came in linked up with Ireland, people there were like, this is like a different Evan. Like, physically he looked really stronger. It was like commented upon around the place, and I think even John O'Shea went on record talking about it, that he just looked a different kind of animal. He looked fitter, and it kind of looked that way at the start. He was kind of that hungry game. He looked a bit sharp. Everyone knows what happened at the end of the campaign with Troy Parrott's goals. But if it wasn't for Evan Ferguson's three goals, Ireland wouldn't have been in with an absolute sniff. You know, he was so important for us in that part of the campaign, and that's why it's so disappointing that obviously January the the injury he had again, jumping to avoid a photographer on the pitch side, causing the issue. It was just so innocuous. And yeah, he's going for surgery, from what I was told, tomorrow. And yeah, he won't be back before the end of the season. And I think the kind of what they're looking for could be maybe Brighton's pre-season that he'll be back ready for, which would mean the World Cup before they get there. He's in a major race to be anywhere near it.
You talk about Brighton's season. Is Roma done now? Or?
Yeah, my understanding would be he won't play again before the end of the season.
Won't play for Roma again.
Well, yeah, because obviously the loan move will be up. He's got.
You can listen back to that in full in your OTB Football podcast feed and become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. On Football Saturday, former Ireland international Greg Cunningham joined John Duggan and Owen Doyle in studio. Cunningham, who retired at the end of last season, recalled breaking through as a Manchester City youngster and the influence that Carlos Tevez had at the club.
It's amazing. Start off in Manchester City. You start off under Mancini and you got the likes of Tevez and company and Gareth Barry in the dressing room. I mean, that must have been something else as a teenager.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I think looking back now, you probably didn't soak it up as much as you probably should have because you're in that bubble and you're just kind of going with the flow. And transfer window on transfer window is just top class players coming through the door and improvements in the training ground, etc. And you're just kind of going with it and trying to maximise it as much as you can. And yeah, there were some big names there that you just try and enjoy it while you're going along and trying to sort of earn that living. We went to a Europa League tie in Romania and got on the plane, and myself and Dedric Boyata were the two young lads, you know, Celtic, Belgian, centre half. So all the players in that were in first class. And then we were the first seats in economy. Well, we were grand, had to pay for a few snacks, chatting away. There was one free seat in first class, but one of us didn't want to take it because the other one would be sat there on their own. And Tevez was in the last seat in first class just there, and he saw us just chatting and sat there. He was gone up to the manager, and Gary Cook at the time, CEO, came back down, sat down. And then just before we took off, Mancini's come down and told us to go and sit in first class. So Dedric's got the free seat. I then had to... got the short straw, upset with Gary Cook for the 5-hour flight, took the gaffer seat. And it was because Tevez had said that the players are the most important part of the club, and if we're travelling, regardless of youngsters, we're part of the squad. So
Tevez great around the place?
Yeah. Like, he ran
no the club. English?
No. Ran the club, and he had like 3 or 4 of his boys that just came in every day and had a kick around as well.
You're joking.
They used to come in, they play pool, play darts. Then when we're training, like, they'd just be kind of knocking a ball around and just enjoying themselves, like, yeah. But he was class.
That chat's also available to listen back to in your OTB Football podcast feed.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, I love this.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB Football podcast feed for free.
Police Scotland say arrests have been made after the Old Firm pitch invasion, which overshadowed Celtic's Scottish Cup quarter-final win over Rangers. Celtic won 4-2 on penalties. It finished nil-all after normal time and extra time. Officers were forced to separate supporters at Ibrox. Both sets of fans encroached onto the field of play. Celtic boss Martin O'Neill says his side got their character spot on after a difficult day.
I just thought that the team were absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. We were fourth game in 10 days. We're absolutely out on our feet. We defended magnificently for long periods of the game and eventually came through.
Rangers boss Danny Rose says the scenes shouldn't be around football. He's also pledged his team will bounce back from their loss.
With this confidence, I'm the leader of the group. I will show them on during the week how good we are and what we can achieve. And 6 points in football goes quick. It could be 2 match days and then we will speak in a different way.
Celtic will now play St Mirren in the semi-finals, which is a repeat of this season's League Cup final, which St Mirren won. Falkirk and Dunfermline will meet in the other semi-final. Brentford boss Keith Andrews says their ambition for tonight's FA Cup fifth round tie away to West Ham is to just win it. His side have hopes of qualifying for Europe this season after an impressive first Premier League campaign under the former Ireland international. But Andrews is happy to put that on hold for a few days.
We're in a pretty good position in terms of where we are. We've treated the cup competition seriously, and this one will be no different.
Port Vale forward Ben Wayne admits it felt special to pay tribute to a hero of his after his goal dumped Sunderland out of the FA Cup. The boyhood Newcastle fan honoured Alan Shearer by imitating his celebration during their 1-0 win yesterday. This was Wayne's reaction when he found out that his hero had seen the goal.
That's pretty cool, yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean, I never got to watch him playing live. I was probably a bit too young, but growing up, watch his YouTube highlights all the time, and I used to try and do that a little bit when I was playing back in New Zealand, so not a bad time to put that celebration out, yeah.
Leeds boss Daniel Farke feels it's not realistic for them to win the FA Cup, but he's happy to be in the quarterfinals for the first time in over 20 years. Leeds avoided an upset with a 3-0 win at home to his former club Norwich, and Farke welcomed a rare home tie in the competition.
We took it as motivation to be able perhaps to write another piece of this amazing history of this club, and long may this dream continue. Who knows what the outcome will be.
Elsewhere yesterday, Championship side Southampton dumped Fulham out of the cup thanks to a late penalty from Ross Stewart. Ireland midfielder Finn Azaz was felled for the penalty. He played all 90 minutes, as did Ryan Manning. The draw for the quarterfinals will take place shortly after 7 this evening before that West Ham and Brentford tie. Middlesbrough have boosted their hopes of winning automatic promotion to the Premier League with a 4-0 win away to QPR. It moves them back 4 points clear of third place Millwall in the Championship. Ireland midfielder Alan Brown was on the score sheet for Borough. Red cards were issued to 23 players after a mass brawl broke out between Brazilian clubs Cruzeiro and Atletico Mineiro in the Campeonato Mineiro final. Caio George scored the winner in Belo Horizonte as Cruzeiro, managed by former Brazil boss Chiche, edged rivals Atletico 1-0 to become the champions of the state of Minas Gerais for the first time since 2019. But the match was marred by a violent melee in the dying seconds, which forced security staff and military police to intervene. It resulted in 23 players, including Atletico's former Brazil forward Hulk, being sent off retrospectively. It all started when Atletico goalkeeper Everson pushed Christian to the ground and then planted his knee on the chest of the Cruzeiro midfielder. Jose Mourinho has criticised Porto's assistant coach for calling him a traitor 50 times after the Benfica boss was sent off towards the end of their draw with his former club. The former Chelsea and Tottenham manager was shown a red card for appearing to clash with members of the opponent's staff near the end of the game. Benfica came from 2-0 down to draw 2-2, but Porto remained top, 4 points ahead of Sporting. Benfica are 7 points off the pace. Graham Arnold, the manager of Iraq's football team, has asked FIFA to reschedule their World Cup playoff game due to travel issues stemming from the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Iraq will play the winner of Bolivia and Suriname in the Inter-Confederation playoffs. The winner of that game will then claim one of the final two spots at this summer's World Cup. The playoff game is scheduled to take place on the 31st of March in Monterrey, Mexico. Bolivia and Suriname are yet to play. That's on the 26th of March at the same stadium. Iraq is one of several countries in the Middle East to close airspace after military attacks by the US and Israel on Iran, which borders Iraq. Last week, Iraq said that Arnold wasn't allowed to leave the UAE because of airspace closures, and several staff members and players couldn't get visas for Mexico as embassies are still closed. And the Australian government's under increasing pressure to protect the Iran women's team after they were knocked out of the Asian Cup. The players were called wartime traitors on Iranian state TV when they refused to sing the Islamic Republic anthem before their opening game against South Korea last week. The women's side are now due to fly home after being knocked out of the competition. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.